You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as a new year of European Tour Golf begins with the BMW South African Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni. Home favourite Brandon Stone is the defending champion, having triumphed here last season.
It's too good to be true, really. Overcome with emotions at the moment. There's a lot of ups and downs in that final round, but to come on top at the end it's incredible.
A preview of all the action from Glendower Golf Club to come, plus we'll look ahead to the Desert Swing and beyond, and we speak exclusively to the chief executive of the European Tour, Keith Pelly.
It is something that can elevate the tour in every possible way. We'll make the tournament fun, exciting, immersive experiences for fans at home or on TV. I think our fans are in for a real treat.
Much more from Keith Pelly to come. And remember, if you have any questions for us to answer on the show, you can tweet us at European Tour with the hashtag ETPodcast. Robert Lee, and I'm joined today by a man who's won twice on the European Tour, Jamie Spence. Jamie, how are you?
I'm very good, Rob. Looking forward to the new season.
It's funny, isn't it? We've already had a chunk of the season before Christmas, but when you get to the turn of the year, it kind of feels like the new year.
Well, from the players' perspective, they're really looking forward to that Desert Swing. Three wonderful golf course. Of course, we've got the South African Open before that, with Rory playing down there, with Ernie as well. So, got some really good golf to look forward to in the month of January.
In the old days, you could say that when you turned up in the new year, you were rusty. But nowadays, with so much golf coming up to the Christmas holidays, how much rust can set in?
It can't really. It's just that people are taking time off different times of the year now, maybe in the summer, which we never would. And you'd have to go away and play the Sunshine Tour or play in Asia or Australia, whatever, because European Tour didn't start up till March. But now it's all year round. The guys got to plan their breaks. It's a totally different kettle of fish.
We'll be tipping perhaps a winner at the first event of 2017 towards the end of the show. But right now, I want you to tip who's going to be world number one at the end of the year.
Oh, Rory. I think Rory's the best player in the world when he's on his game, so I've got to go with Rory. I mean, did he play brilliant last year? No, but he still won the FedEx, still won this, that and the other, so he's the number one for me.
I was going to say Rory, and I thought I might sound like a genius, but you've made very good points, and I agree with you. Well, on this week's show, we will preview the first events of 2017, but let's start the year by speaking to European Tour Chief Executive Keith Pelly. Keith, happy new year and welcome to the Race to Dubai show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, gentlemen, and happy new year to you both.
I'm alongside Jamie Spence. Keith, just tell us how calm and peaceful the last 18 months have been.
Well, I don't know if I would use those two adjectives, but it's been a lot of fun. We've made some good progress, but we have a long way to go. You know, we've had some significant milestones, obviously the announcement of the Rolex series, our strategic alliance with the Asian Tour, and some of our format innovations. And I think our digital content has exploded over the last 3 or 4 months, and that will be certainly a key something to look for going forward. But we still have a long, long, long way to go.
Keith, looking back to last year, what was your favorite moment? What gave you that wow moment?
I think, Jamie, professionally, it would be signing the deal with Rolex to make the Rolex series a reality. Personally, it was seeing the way my 13-year-old boy, Jason, interacted with Martin Kaymer in Dubai. And a magical moment when he hit a wedge closer than Martin did, and they were betting a Coke. So that was my my favorite personal moment. Professionally, it was definitely the Rolex series.
Oh, they're lovely moments. So what about the Ryder Cup, Keith? Going over there as the chief executive in charge of the European team, what did you make of it?
I was absolutely dumbfounded, Jamie. I couldn't believe the magnitude of this event. I thought I'd been to every sporting event of great significance prior to being there, but that was to see 40,000 people there on a Wednesday afternoon watching a bunch of guys warm up was mind-boggling to me. I couldn't believe it, and it just energized me. And as soon as I got back, I went to Paris the next week to start even upping our plans for the Ryder Cup in 2018. And we're going to have, I'll give you a little taste of what one of the things that we want to do is we want to have the largest outdoor viewing area at the Ryder Cup in 2018 at Le Golf National in Paris. The largest outdoor viewing area in the history of sport.
That's going to be incredible. Looking forward to that. But I think if people didn't know you, your opening speech at the opening ceremony at the Ryder Cup certainly let people know, Keith, that you're energized. You've got a lot of energy.
Yeah, and I did get a little bit of abuse for wearing the blue glasses that were tinted. So our head of communication, Scott Crock, has said to me, never again can you wear those glasses in a public speech under the sun. I literally was in awe of the Ryder Cup and was thrilled to see a golfing event of that magnitude bring two different sporting fans to the event, because it wasn't just the golf event. It was an overall sporting fan that came to the Ryder Cup, and that left us for great optimism going forward.
And you can say the same about the new Rolex series as well, Keith. How excited are you about that, and what's it taken to put it all together?
This one's monumental for us. I've said it's transformational and a game changer, and I do believe it has that ability to do such. Obviously, it'll have improved prize funds and a greater experience for players and their families, and I do believe that it will elevate the tour and all other events, will make the tournaments fun, exciting, immersive experiences for fans at home or on TV. We'll work really hard on the digital and the broadcast product. We do believe that it is something that can elevate the tour in every possible way. And the first one will be the BMW PGA Championship in May. And we've probably already had maybe 7 or 8 planning meetings on the Rolex series. So I think our fans are in for a real treat.
You've managed to find a way to have another little mini order of merit going. So players who are coming from a selection of lower down tournaments, they've got a chance to get into the Rolex series events.
The access list that you're referring to is very important to us, Rob. And this was something that we heard in Morocco last year at one of our events, when some of the players that were recently qualifying from the Challenge Tour or Q School were not getting as many opportunities to play. And what they were very concerned with was, if we were to create something like the Rolex series, how would they ever be able to get in them? And we listened, and we had a lot of dialogue about it. And this will allow any player that plays in any event leading up to a Rolex series, if they're playing that well, and that's what it's all about. So if you come in as a Challenge Tour player or a Q School player and you play well, it's a separate list that is excluding the Rolex series, excludes all the majors except for the Open and the U.S. Open, where you can both qualify for. But it is a separate list, and if you play well, you can then play in the big tournaments at the Rolex series. And the members have been absolutely fully supportive. And at the end, even more important, the top 10 at the end of the year on this list get to keep their card. It's something that, as a members organization, we need to be conscious of all of our members. And this is a perfect example of listening to them and reacting.
Well, it certainly is a great initiative, Keith, and well done for that. Now, where would you see this going in, say, 4 years' time? Where's the world of golf going to be in your crystal ball in 4 or 5 years' time?
Great question, Jamie. You know, there's a lot of talk about a world tour, and nobody has really defined what that has meant. So in the interim, we're just going to grow it as much as we possibly can. And our focus is obviously growing our membership and giving our players more opportunities to play, better experiences for the fans, a better engagement, and higher prize funds. Where it's going to be in 5 years, don't know.
Like you say, we're on a journey, Keith, and let's see where it takes us. Very ambitious plans for 2017. It's looking really good with the Rolex series. I want to talk to you, Keith, about what we did last year in the European Tour in terms of innovation. I mean, who would have thought in Holland we had Beat the Pro that the players would accept turning up onto a par 3 tee and having an amateur golfer, a club player, play the hole alongside them and think, do you know what? This is a great idea. Who'd have thought that would have happened?
You know, Jamie, there might be your answer. You know, for the previous question is where golf will look like. The question is, what will the overall golf structure be? The majors are still going to be there. They're still going to flourish, as will the WGCs, as will the Rolex series. But will all the other events on all the other multiple tours be more innovative in nature? You just mentioned the Beat the Pro at KLM, and we're talking about a new format in Perth, and the BMW in Munich is talking about a revised format. And you're even seeing that in the United States now. So the question really is where will golf be in 5 years as far as the professional game and what new formats will have really taken off. And that's what we're going to continue to experiment with in 2017 and 2018 is you're right. There is all kinds of new formats that are being developed. The Beat the Pro was a great example of something that was an add-on to a tournament. And our focus on being an entertaining product and utilizing golf to create entertaining product for fans of all ages is paramount for our success going forward.
What was your favorite one, Keith? Was it some of those interviews, or was it the Mannequin Challenge or the Fastest Hole? Which one really tickled you?
It's tough to beat the little big interview with Rory and Billy. That was pretty special. But I did like Alexander Levy's second shot on the fastest par five when he yelled, "Be good, be good." That was terrific. But yeah, creating innovative content that lands on our and lives on our digital platforms is something that is a critical priority for us going forward. And we had some great experiences and great success with some of it last year, and we'll continue that in 2017.
Of all the places you've been to, Keith, what's your favorite venue on the European Tour?
I can politically correctly say I like them all, but but I spent a lot of time in Antalya, which is 2 hours from Turkey, and the venue of Regnum Kara was special. And I was not aware that Belek is such a great golf mecca. And unfortunately, they've had some tough political situations in Turkey, and we will monitor that over the coming months and years. But Antalya was a pretty special place.
Keith, what do you make of Jason Day's comments about that he's prepared to back off a shot 4 or 5 times and basically slow down? He feels he's rushing it, can you believe, last year. Yeah. What do you think about that as for the professional golfers out there? What would you say to him?
Well, I think we have to, and Jason did mention that he understands it in the public game, but I think both the public game and the professional game need to continue to address slow play. And I'll tell you a very quick story, guys. You know, my 13-year-old Jason had a tournament a couple weeks ago, and he said, "You know what, Dad, I don't think I'm going to play." So this was Friday, and the tournament was Saturday. "I don't think I'm going to play tomorrow on Saturday." And I said, "Well, what do you mean you're not going to play?" He said, "Well, I've got exams on Monday." I said, "Exams?" He said, "Yeah, and I think I should study." I went, no, seriously. He goes, "No, I think I should." And I said, so I finally got to the bottom of it. And he said, "Dad, you know, there's going to be a 4-ball behind us, a 4-ball in front of us, and it's going to be a 4.5 to 5 hour round, and I just don't want to do it." That's a 13-year-old guy saying that.
Yeah, that's important. That's addressed. I mean, if you're hearing that, that's no good for the game of golf.
And when you look at sport these days, and everyone is looking to, every professional game is addressing the speed, whether it be Major League Baseball, the National Football League, they're all looking to address speed. And does anybody want to watch somebody back off 5 times before they hit a shot? So my feeling is that the professional game and the game for amateurs need to address slow play. And this is something that we talk about with the USGA, we talk about with the RNA. I was thrilled to see new commissioner Jay Monahan mention it in one of his articles, because that's the first time I've heard the PGA Tour be concerned about slow play. So Jason's the world number one, and I respect it. But at the same time, I think long-term that needs to be, you know, if you catapult ahead 4 or 5 years, I don't think you'll be able to step away 5 times. Because if so, I think our game's in trouble.
Now, Keith, what about your own game? Has that suffered from your tenure of the European Tour? Have you become a better player?
No, I'm just a bad player, Jamie. It's just I can't chip. I have the chipping yips. And some pro, I think it worked for Sky, Mark Rowe. Yeah, Mark Rowe. He tried to help me with my chipping game. Do you know Mark Rowe?
It wouldn't be for free.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm kidding you. Of course. Mark Rowe tried to help me with 3 little things on my chipping, but it hasn't helped. And my game is getting worse. My only hope is that in 2017, and you guys tell me, what do you think my best chance is?
I hit more greens.
Yeah, but do you think my best chance, if I had three goals in 2017, is one, to shoot 29, which Robert Lee once shot in his... When did you shoot 29?
Actually, 27 twice, Keith, but details.
Did you shoot 27 twice?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I keep it quiet.
Okay. So either to shoot 27, 29, that'd be one on nine holes, to beat Jamie Spence straight up.
No chance. No chance without that. The first two are gone. Give us a third option.
And the third is to not allow my boy to beat me for one more year.
Yeah.
He's getting better and better. You think that's the best chance?
I think that's the best chance. Yeah,
that's your best chance.
That's your best chance.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, Keith, your chance to message, to give your players on the European Tour a message before you go. What's the thing, the message you want to get across to them?
That this is their tour. That we're building this tour for them. They need to understand which they are, that we're in the entertainment business, and that they are the recipe for success. And the more engagement that we can have with our and their fans, the better. But this is their tour, and we need to build it together.
Great message, Keith. Thank you very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. And from Jamie and myself, we wish you a lot of luck with your endeavors in 2017.
Thanks, guys. Be good. I'm going to shoot for number one and number two.
Go for it.
No chance. Bring your wallet.
See
ya. Bye, Keith. Well, Keith has certainly got a lot of enthusiasm for everything he's involved in, Jamie, and it kind of gets you going. It's a bit like standing next to Gary Player. When you hear Keith go for a little bit, you've got more buzz about you.
He almost makes me feel positive. I mean, that is some thing to do, isn't it?
Well, we're talking about the impossible, not miracles.
Oh, yeah. No, he's been fantastic. A breath of fresh air to the European Tour. And he's done what he's promised with this Rolex series. So fingers crossed for that. It's a great initiative. Fantastic tournaments for the players on the European Tour to play. And that pathway through to the final series is still there for all the players coming out of the Challenge Tour and the Tour Squad. And that's very important.
Thank you, Jamie. On to the 2017 Race to Dubai season. We had three tournaments before the turn of the year. So let's start with a quick recap of what happened. The season began with the Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek. And it was home favourite Brandon Stone who triumphed. It was his second victory in as many years on the European Tour, and he was delighted when he spoke to us the following day.
The SA Open was a massive victory for me. It proved to myself that I have what it takes to cross the line. But I must say, the amount of calmness that I felt last week, compared to the SA Open was unparalleled. It was like I was a different person. I just felt completely confident, completely sound in my game plan for the golf course, and I knew what I needed to do, and I set out a goal at the start of the week, and I managed to accomplish it, which doesn't often happen, but when it does, it's obviously quite fulfilling.
The words, good young player, Jamie, we seem to say that an awful lot now. They come out, and very quickly, they have success.
Well, he's won his home championship and another one at Leopard Creek, the fantastic Leopard Creek, by the way. 22 under he was there. That is some golf on that golf course.
That's going very hard, isn't it?
He's defending his title next week, South African Open. No doubt they'll stick him in with Rory. Bring it on.
And on the same day, Stone won in South Africa, American Harold Varner III claimed the Australian PGA Championship in Queensland.
It's just a step in the right direction, and I'm just super excited. I'm ready to get to the casino, but no one told me about the other stuff that goes along with winning, which I'm totally cool with. I just didn't know so much stuff. There might have been 1,000 pictures out there. This guy's still going. That's 1,001.
He's a lot of fun, Harold Varner.
Yeah, he is, yeah. But I think we'll see him on the PGA Tour. He might come and play a few European Tour events, hopefully. But wonderful win. He was unlucky the previous year not to win, so you've got to stick at it, and it paid dividends for him.
Losing the playoff and then come back and win the following year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's difficult to do that. And then it was on to the UBS Hong Kong Open, Jamie, where Australian Sam Brazel ended 2016 in style by pipping Rafa Cabrera-Bello by one shot to land his maiden European Tour title. At the age of 37, by the way.
Yeah, I did the on-course, followed him around, Rob, and did the winner's interview as well. I couldn't get a word out of him. He was so emotional, as you would be. He's been trying all that time to win an event, and what a big one to win. And the way he did it, birding that last hole. I think there'd been one birdie all day there.
That's correct.
Last hole.
How about the second shot in there?
Yeah, well, he pushed it, didn't he? He must have done. He couldn't have been aiming for the flag there. I did say to him, is that the greatest shot of your life? And he did say, well, to be honest with you, I didn't hit it quite as well
That's
as I wanted
said.
To.
That's what he said. It was a funny
he
thing,
did,
wasn't
it? It was a funny thing
would
to say.
Would you have admitted that?
Well, probably not, but
no,
he was just
right.
taken away with it, wasn't he? And mind you, Cabrera-Bell, yeah, terrific shot in there as well, right down the flag. And he birdied the last, so yeah, he played some really solid stuff. We were waiting for him to disappear off the leaderboard, but I was. He didn't. He played solid.
Yeah, and 37 now with a new career on the European Tour. Oh, well played.
Happy days.
Well played, Sam Brazel. Okay, Jamie, with just three tournaments gone, let's recap who's in the top 10 in the 2017 Race to Dubai so far.
Well, in 10th place is Danny Willett. David Lipsky is number 9. Thomas Detry, the young Belgian, looks very promising. He's at 8. Tommy Fleetwood, Back in form, Tommy, at 7. Richard Sterney at 6. Harold Varner the third at 5th. Brandon Stone 4. Rafa Cabrera-Bello at 3. Needs to win one, doesn't he, Rafa, soon? Mm. Andrew Doat at 2. And Sam Brazel, number 1. Who'd have thought it?
Yeah, so the first event of 2017, the actual year, is the BMW South African Open, hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni. And it's played at Glendower Golf Club, a fine old golf club in South Africa, Jamie.
Yeah, I played there. Well said, Ekurhuleni. Very good, Robert.
Thanks
well
so
done.
Much.
I'm impressed with that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Glendower, wonderful, wonderful golf course there in Joburg. Defending champion, as we said, is Brandon Stone. Some good players there. Rory's honoured his commitment to Ernie Els to play. The Retief Goosen's there as well. So is Andy Sullivan, and Sir Nick Faldo's making an appearance on the European Tour as well down there. So
interesting.
Yeah, he's playing. Yes, an interesting field, young and old. So be a wonderful event to watch. I mean, it's a very old fashioned, very
well,
old.
The oldest.
Yeah, I think it's the second oldest in the world. The South African Open should be a huge event on our schedule. I always think.
Yeah, and you know, Rory's playing. Repaying perhaps something to Ernie Els. That seems to be quite a current theme now amongst the really big names. You do me a favour, I'll do you a favour.
Scratch so
everyone,
your back,
everyone
Robert.
Wins.
Yes, everyone's a winner, especially down in South Africa. They deserve to see some of the world stars play there. They've always had the Nedbank, of course, to watch the stars, but it's great to see Rory supporting the South African Open. He's playing quite a bit in the next few months.
That's good, isn't it? Because I always feel with Rory, he's better when he's got to run a tournament when he's playing.
Yeah, he's playing Abu Dhabi and Dubai as well, so good on him.
Yeah, we're going to see him a lot on the European Tour. That's great. Maybe, apropos our previous chat, continuing the climb towards world number one.
That's our prediction. We'll see. But there's so many good players on that world ranking and just hovering outside the top 10 as
well. Yeah, there are. Brandon Stone, chances of defending. He's in great form.
Big chance. Big chance. There's got to be, hasn't it? He's banging form, full of confidence, and he plays well, drives the ball really, really well, putts well. It's a good combination to have.
And Glendower is a test?
Really good course, Rob. Yeah, they redesigned it actually a few years ago, I believe, since I played there. Bit of water involved, beautiful rolling country, lovely golf course as you'd expect in Joburg. So, yeah, proper test of golf.
So, Jamie, you've mentioned a few players. Who are you going to go for this week?
Well, it'd be easy.
Are you going to go for the obvious one?
I think Rory's obviously the man to beat. It'd be easy to tip Rory. I can't tip him every week. That'd be slightly unfair. Let's look a little further down the list, Robert. And I sort of go to Challenge Tour and Tour School, and I'm looking at Thomas Detry. I know he's a favourite player of yours.
Well, top 10 at the minute in the race to Dubai.
I know. But I'll take a chance. Going to go with Jordan Smith, who won the Challenge Tour de Merit.
Okay.
Watched him hit it in Hong Kong. He made the cut, did all right, finished midfield. I like the way he swung it. I think he'll do all right.
To counter that, obviously, the temptation to pick Rory is overwhelming.
Strong.
It's overwhelming, but I'm going to resist. And I'm going to pick...
Who should unpack their bag right now?
I'm going to pick a former champion, Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I saw him make a swing on social media. He just posted, it was all wrapped up in warm weather clobber, and it looked good.
He won't need that out there.
He won't need that out there. No. So I'm going to go for a little bit of Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you liking that?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so
really good.
Interesting.
Might change my mind.
Well,
no,
you can if you, I mean, I'll give you the option if you want to.
No, I'm sticking with it. Jordan Smith.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to the Desert Swing, because after the BMW South African Open, it goes to Abu Dhabi for the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. Following that, it's the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. And then, of course, in the same position as always, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic in Dubai. Three great tournaments, three great courses, great conditions to hone your game.
Yeah, that's the thing as well for the players this time of year. You can go out there in good weather. The practice facilities at each venue is superb. Absolutely first class. Huge ranges, especially Qatar. It's massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. Difference in Qatar is the wind blows quite a lot.
It's the windiest of the three, isn't it?
It is the windiest of the three. Dubai is a little bit more risk and reward, and Abu Dhabi is just a very strong, difficult course, long, rough. You've got to play well there. You can't come there rusty and think you're going to chop it round. You won't. You've got to hit it. Ricky Fowler, defending champion. You've got Dustin Johnson playing there as well.
DJ's playing.
And Abu Dhabi. And Henrik Stenson, Danny Willett, Peters, Grace, and the new Ryder Cup captain, Thomas Bjorn. He'll be there as well.
Is desert golf peculiar to certain types of players or not? Because a lot of the times, the same players do well out there, it seems.
But I think the Dubai Desert Classic's been going for 28 years, so you get to know the golf courses. I liked Dubai when it was fast and firm and the greens were really fast. It sort of softened up over the years. So
when those greens get fast and hard at Dubai, it's quite the test then.
Yeah,
I love it then.
But and we talked about Qatar. You've got to hit the ball. You've got to hit a lot of shots. You've got to shake the ball there with the wind. A lot of tough par threes there as well. So three terrific golf courses and three good fields as well.
And there's a big cat turning up in Dubai.
There is, yes. The old Tigers turning up to play Rory and Henrik and others and Danny Willett. And so that's going to be fantastic. What a coup. him to come and play in Dubai. Well done, Amiga.
Do you think he gets the top players' juices flowing, the fact they see that he might get back and get in amongst it? And because when he plays, there's no doubt there's more of a buzz.
When is the last time he played the European Tour? Long time ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of these players, you go down Andy Sullivan, Tommy Fleetwood, Chris Wood, they've not played with... I very much doubt any of them play with Tiger Woods. I'm sure they haven't. I wouldn't think Rory's played much with him competitively either.
Not of late.
No. So they'd be desperate to play with him. They're all loving being there. It will improve the field, improve everything. So as a player, they'll be loving it.
I'm going for Rory and Tiger drawn together. Just call me old-fashioned.
Ah, oh, you've really stuck your neck out
Do you
there.
Think so?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
yeah.
Rory and Tiger. I don't know. Could it happen? Could it, Jamie? Could it?
Rory, Tiger and Danny, perhaps?
Masters champion?
I think it could happen.
A Masters specialist, a man who's desperate to win the Masters.
Yeah, I think it could happen.
Oh, it could happen, yeah. Well, following the Desert Swing, the Maybank Championship in Kuala Lumpur follows what happens in the Middle East. And then the tour heads down under for the inaugural ISPS Handa World Super 6 in Perth. Tell us about the new format, Jamie.
I'm really looking forward to it, I think. It's really excited me, to be honest with you, because you can have a cut after 36 holes, as normal. Then, after Saturday, you can have a 54-hole cut.
It's a normal 54 holes, isn't it?
54 holes, but cut to 24. And you play off for the 24th spot one-hole playoff. So you're going to get 24 players, and the top eight players are seeded. And then the next 16 player match play, then they bring in the seeded eight players and they whittle it down to you have a final. Over six holes.
Are the seeded eight players by how they've done the tournament or their world rankings?
By how they've done in the tournament. So the top eight in that tournament, I think they have a card playoff to determine those eight players. And then the next 16 player, and then you play on until you get the final. And, which is great, over six holes. So they're going to have to be quick here. There's a lot of golf to be played. The finalist could actually have to play 30 holes if he goes every hole in one day. So that's a lot of golf. But if you tie your match, you have a one-hole playoff over 90 metres on the last day. And the last hole there coming up is a really good par four. But they put a special tee at 90 metres, so you have a playoff hole.
Closest to flag.
If you're still tied, it's a one-shot, nearest the pin, knockout challenge.
I think the players are really going to get behind this.
I do too.
Yeah.
I'd love to play in that, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You want to play in that.
But I wouldn't like to be 25th after three rounds.
No, we still get paid.
I understand that.
Pay the money, but yeah,
you're missing the fun bit of it.
You are missing the fun bit.
Yeah, that's for sure. Patrick Reed, Alex Noren down to play.
Already, and I'm sure some others will be joining him on a really good golf course. Great time of year to go down to Perth. Got the Birdswood Casino as well. Happy days down there.
So that's what's coming up tournament-wise over the next few months. But what about players to watch in 2017, Jamie? Who do you think could have a breakthrough year on the tour?
Well, I've already highlighted Jordan Smith. Won the Challenge Tour last year. 24-year-old. Previously won the Euro Pro as well. So he's got a good profile. I like it, the fact someone can win on a tour, win on the next tour. Why can't he win on this tour? Well, we'll see. He's already got a world ranking of 113 as well, Rob. So that's a good starting point as well. I really like a player, and I know you're going to like him as well, Nacho Alvara from Spain.
Yeah, very good. Saw him hit two amazing shots in Morocco to that par five. I know he lost out to Young and Wang, but still.
That was the best shot I saw a year, that.
Oh, it was a brilliant shot. Yeah.
In the playoff. Is it in the playoff?
It was in the playoff.
Hit it to about 15 feet, and Wang held that.
Monster for a four.
Monster to keep in the playoff and then beat him on the next hole. But he's a really promising player. He had six top tens last year. Strong as an ox, he looks to me. Hits it great.
And a good swing too.
Yeah, really good swing. So he's a top player. So I'm looking, think he'll improve. And then I'm going to go off piece a little bit and go sort of PGA Tourish as well. And maybe a potential Ryder Cup nightmare as well. John Rahm, who's qualified on the PGA Tour.
Great player, Spaniard.
Young Spaniard, 22.
Done the college thing.
Number one ranked amateur. Yeah. Looks, everyone's talking about him. So I'm going to talk about him as well. He's got some game. So exciting times. We'd like him to become a member of the European Tour, I think.
Well, I think.
I hope he will.
Well, I think once you see, the thing is, once you've done sort of 2, 3, 4 years in American college, and you kind of get into that American way of thinking, you've almost got to re-educate yourself to come back to Europe. But that may happen for him.
Well, the fact that he is passionately Spanish and hopefully passionately European, he'll want to compete on the Ryder Cup team, and he'll find a way of playing in 4 or 5 of our events, as well as some of the majors. So. Anyway, it's an exciting prospect for us to watch over the coming year.
Definitely. I've got a couple of players that I'm going to highlight that didn't win. But surely Richard Bland, if he continues his consistency...
But I wouldn't call Richard up and coming. No disrespect, Rich.
No, well, I'm talking about breakthrough. I think for him to win will be a breakthrough.
Well, what a year he had. He was on the leaderboard so many times. I followed him around the course. I mean, what a year he had, Rich. It'd be great if he could win an event.
And the other one who's always there and had a great Ryder Cup and I think surprised people with how strong he was in the Ryder Cup, Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
Oh, yeah.
Again, always in the frame. just to find that switch that helps you close the door a lot more often.
Not easy to win, is it?
It's not easy to win, but
Tee to green.
When you're as good
great.
As he is, yeah. When you're as good as he is, eventually it's going to fall into place. You start getting that winning habit. And I think 2017, that's going to happen for him.
He needs to scramble a little bit better, I think. He just needs to shoot some low scores playing ugly. If he can just learn how to do that, he'll be the complete player because he's fit, he hits it a long way, hits loads of greens, really good player.
Yeah, really, really good player. Jamie, top 10 in the world rankings, please.
Number 10 is Bubba Watson, hanging in there, Bubba. 9, Alex Noren. See what you can do, European Tour players, get into that top 10. Just all you got to do is win 4 events. Number 8, Patrick Reed. Adam Scott, still number in the top 10, Adam Scott every year. At number 7, Hideki Matsuyama, the young Japanese player, looks very promising at 6. Jordan Spieth at 5. Open champion Stenson at 4, Dustin Johnson at 3, the future number 1, Rory McIlroy, he's at 2, and Jason Day is at number 1.
And just one bit of news before we go, and it's congratulations to Olympic gold medalist Justin Rose, who has been awarded an MBE, which stands for Member of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire, for his efforts in Rio in the Queen's New Year's Honours List. You were there, Jamie, taking care of him. You got him over the line. It was all to do with you. Where's your honour?
I'm waiting.
Has he got an MBE?
Justin deserved it.
Would you get a CBE? What would they give you?
I don't know what they'd give me, Rob. I don't think they'll give me anything.
Well, that's it for now. Next week, we will review the BMW South African Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni and look ahead in more detail to the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. And remember, if you have any golf questions for us to answer on the show, you can tweet us at European Tour with the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Jamie Spence,
goodbye,
and myself, Robert Lee, we'll see you next week.